Well, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me grab my Bible. I put it in out of the rain. We had to move all the band inside. Let me see, make sure we're still on live, because we've got a lot of folks watching from home. And we'll turn it kind of like that right there. But we're glad that each one of you have joined us today, as I said earlier. If you've got your Bible, I'm not going to keep you a long time, but I want to ask you to turn in your Bibles way at the back of the book of Habakkuk. Way at the back. I said Habakkuk, I meant Haggai. Haggai, I'll get it straight. Turn way in the back of your Old Testament to the book of Haggai. The book of Haggai, chapter 2. And I want to read a few verses there. Haggai chapter 2. And I'm going to read 9 verses, so just follow with me. Haggai chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. And I want you to give special attention when we get to verses 6 through 9. Haggai chapter 2, verse 1. I want to title my message today, Shook. Shook. Wherever you are, whether you're watching or in your cars, wherever you are, say shook.
Shook.
We're going to talk about shook today. Haggai chapter 2, verse 1. In the 7th month, in the 1 20th day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, this is what Haggai said by the Spirit of God. He said, now speak to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and to the residue of the people. In other words, God said, I want you to go talk to the leaders. And this is what I want you to tell them. That's what the Lord said through Haggai. And he comes to the next verse, and this is the message. Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? He's talking about the temple, Solomon's temple. He said, who's alive? Who still remembers how the glory of God used to be in this place? And he goes on then to say, how do you see it now? What's it like now? He said, compare the way it was then with the way it is now. And then he goes on to say, is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? In other words, can't you see a big difference? See, the people had turned away from God and began to operate out of fear and worship idolatries. And so he says there's been a great change in the house of God. I'm going to tell you, folks, I've seen that in the last 20 years. I've seen God's house change, and from many times from becoming the house of prayer to becoming a den of thieves. I hate to say that. But we've gotten where churches are selling more stuff than the Walmarts are. And it seems like churches, it's like it's all about a show, and we got to have the right lights, and we got to have a fog machine. No, my friends, follow me. It doesn't matter if it's a driving rain. We can still worship God, amen? In fact, I think sometimes God appreciates the sacrifice of our praise. And so we got a little too comfortable. And he goes on to say then, he says, yet now be strong. This is what the Lord is saying to his people. Be strong, Zerubbabel, saith the Lord. And be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedech, the high priest. And be strong, all you the people with land of the land, saith the Lord. And work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. God wants us to work. And he goes on then to say some real important things I want us to see. Look at verse 7. He says, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts, and the glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Somebody's horn, David Josie, your truck horn's honking. Amen. I reckon it just had to say amen.
Amen.
Wasn't nobody else amen it, so I reckon David's truck said he'd amen. I want you to bow with me for a word of prayer, and let's ask God's blessings now on this word. Father, we thank you for each one that's come out. We pray now, Lord, for a little while, that God, you'll speak to us and give us a word that'll sustain us through this week. We thank you, Lord, for your presence here now. I ask you to give me unction to speak, Lord. We pray that you'll be in our midst, and we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. All God's people said, amen. I want you to think with me for just a minute about being shook. What does the word shake mean? Well, I looked at a lot of different definitions, even in the Hebrew where this word is found. And all of them that I found had one common denominator. Excuse me, that ain't COVID-19, that's Paul in 2020. But the thing that they had in common with the definition of the word shake or to shake or shaking was this. It really means at its essence a vibration. When you have an earthquake and the tectonic plates beneath the earth begin to shift and bump against each other, what you feel on the surface is a vibration, a shaking. And I want us to keep that in mind today as we think about this, because there are all kinds of vibrations going out around the world right now. There's vibrations of fear. There are vibrations of panic. There are vibrations of gluttony, where everybody thinks they have to have it all because they don't have enough faith to believe that God will provide for them their daily bread. So they got to get a truckload of toilet paper. There is vibrations of self-grandizement, that is, trying to lift oneself up, or like, I hate to say it, but some of those in Congress trying to make this an opportunity for them to be able to get all the little things that they want instead of thinking about the American people. But my friends, there's also a vibration that comes from a shaking, and it should be different for you and me as God's people. When there's a shaking taking place, as God's people, we should recognize this is a time for me to pay attention. This is a time for me to look up to God. This is a time for me to hit my knees. This is a time for me to turn back to God and to get closer to God. And so when I feel this shaking, this vibration that I feel, is that it's a call back to God. I hope you feel that today, wherever you might be. You feel called back to God. You know that we need to get closer to Him. I don't know about you, but I do. I need to get closer to God. I'm not as close to Him as I ought to be, but I'm getting there. I'm getting closer and closer, and I hope you are too. And we won't ever be perfect. Don't get me wrong. Not till we get to heaven will we be perfect. But I'm like the old song. Oh, for a closer walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Shook. What is God saying through this? What does God say to us when He is shaking? Well, first of all, He's shaking the nations. In fact, this text, as I'm sharing it with you today, I heard Ricky Skaggs, who's a fine, godly man. He was at the Grand Ole Opry last night with Daly and Vincent. Wasn't any people there except them and one or two more. And in fact, Ricky Skaggs, who is one of my heroes, he said, God is shaking the nations right now. And he used this very same verse, Haggai chapter 2, verse 7. God is shaking the nations. Have you ever seen anything in your lifetime like what's going on. I haven't. I've never seen anything like this. I guess the closest thing that I know of like this would go back to, and it's before my time, would be World War II, when all the nations were shook then. You might say, well, we had the Gulf War. Yeah, but that didn't shake all the nations like this. That involved some nations. But this is touching every nation. And I'm telling you, God is sending out a vibration. He's sending a message to us. So what does it mean when He shakes? Why does God shake? Why? Everybody say why.
Why?
Why do you shake God? Why do you shake things? Now, I remember I had an old dog one time, and he loved to shake stuff. He loved to get a towel or anything and just shake it. Old bulldog years ago. But I'm going to tell you, God isn't shaking something just to shake it. He's got a purpose. First of all, God shakes things to dislodge. Everybody say that with me. Dislodge. Dislodge. Well, what is He trying to do by dislodging? Well, to dislodge something is to break a log jam. It's to stop something that is stuck. It's to get it from being stuck and to move it, to open up something. And God, many times He will shake things and shake us because He wants to dislodge something. We'll say, well, what is He trying to dislodge, Pastor? Well, I'll tell you, there's three things He's trying to dislodge when He shakes. First of all, the faults. The faults. F-A-L-S-E, the faults. Let me tell you something, folks. You can go anywhere and you can see the faults. There's false ideas about what real love is. Real love. I've got a dear friend here. And her husband, she's driven all the way from my home county. But her husband has early onset Alzheimer's. And yet, the world would say, just forget about him. But she says, I love you. I take care of you. I stand by you. In sickness or in health. But the false idea of the world would be, just forget it. Go on and live for yourself. So when God sends a shaking, He dislodges what is false. And we see that all around us, folks. The false stuff that people have followed for so long is being dislodged. But that's not all that He dislodges. He dislodges the fake. He dislodges the fake. You know, there are fake things around us too, isn't it? Not only the false, but the fake. You know, I'm going to tell you something, folks. There's a lot of sheep, wolves dressed in sheep's clothing. There's a lot of folks out there. I remember years ago a man that I found out, I won't call his name, but my mama was sending this man all this money because she believed that she sent him all this money that she would be blessed and her children would be blessed. Finally, I found out about it. I said, Mama, what are you doing? You should put your tithe in the plate at church. That's what God's Word says. But she was following a wolf in sheep's clothing. She had been misled. And I think about so much of the faith is being revealed now. It's like God is pulling back the curtain and letting us see what's really going on. I think that's one reason people in Washington hate our president so much. It's because he's pulling back the curtain and we're seeing that there's really a swamp full of swamp creatures and all kinds of bad things going on. So a shaking will cause God to dislodge not only the false but the fake. But there's one other thing He'll dislodge, and that's the frivolous. Everybody say frivolous.
Frivolous.
Frivolous. How many times before all of this started happening? I'm going to put my hood on. I just can't be still. How many times before we had this coronavirus did me and you take so many things for granted? We would maybe be at a restaurant, and because the waitress did not bring us tea quick enough, it would make us mad. We would get in a bad mood over stupid stuff. Get irritated over things that do not matter. God is putting it all in perspective right now, ain't you? I read a real cute little post somebody put on Facebook. Said, I guess all you guys that married those supermodels wish you had a hefty woman that knew how to wring a chicken's neck now and knew how to cook cornbread. Amen to that. Glory to God. Glory to God. My wife would be fatter than she is, but I eat up all the groceries at our house. I just have to plead guilty. Yeah, I know it. You know it too. So God, when he shakes something, he dislodges. He breaks loose what's false, what's fake, and what's frivolous. He's showing us what's really important right now, isn't he, folks? He's showing us that if you got God and you got your family and you got your freedom, you're going to be okay. And I tell you right now, we're going to be okay, folks. We're going to be okay. We're going to come through this. And we're going to come out better on the other side. Amen? There's something else I'm going to tell you that happens when God shakes. And I got to move on quick. He'll shake us not only to dislodge the false, the foolish, and the fake. But he also shakes to establish his children. He does it to establish his children. I want everybody to say this with me. He shakes, say that with me. He shakes us to wake us. He shakes us to wake us. You remember when Jesus was asleep in the hinder part of the ship during the storm, the disciples went back and they shook him and said, Lord, do you not care that we perish? There's a storm. There's been a lot of times in life when you've fallen asleep and somebody would shake you to wake you. I remember one time, Brother Harry and sister, can you hear me now? Are you listening? I don't know about you, but I think he's got a lot of our attention right now. I believe we're listening. And that's one thing that he does when he shakes. He shakes us to wake us because he wants to establish his children in his will. One last thing. Why does God shake? God shakes so that he can establish his plan. You know, he shakes to dislodge. He shakes us to wake us so that we'll listen to him. He shakes us to wake us. But number three, he shakes us to establish what his plan is. You see, my friends, God is telling us, just like he did in Matthew, the latter chapters of Matthew, 24, 25, 26, long in there. He says in the last days, he said that there will be wars and rumors of wars. There will be pestilences. There will be earthquakes in various places. All this is prophesied. And what God is telling us, he's saying, I'm coming soon. I'm coming back. I'm fulfilling my plan. And he said, when you see all these things, that don't get upset. But look up, because that means your redemption is drawing nigh. He's telling us it's not the end yet. Not yet. But it's getting close. And I tell you what, I'm glad that we're listening. I know people are listening. I'm hearing from people every day that are calling me, messaging me, texting me. And they're telling me, Brother Tom, I want to get back right with God. I want to get my life back on track with Jesus Christ. And my friend, that's something we can all do right now. I don't know where you might be. If you're watching, you may be in a bar room. As I've said before, you may be in a hotel room with someone that you're not married to right now. You may have just took a hit of some kind of drug. You may be hungover or still drunk from last night. You may be an upstanding person with a great job, a great family, and everybody admires you, but deep on the inside, you know that your heart is not right with God. It could be anybody. And the good news is, God is not willing that any should perish, But he calls us all to repentance. And my friends, I'm going to tell you something. If we can't hear God right now, our ears must really be stopped up. But if you're hearing God, if you understand He's awakened me to shake me, He's trying to speak to me. If you're hearing God, that's the evidence that the Spirit of God is working inside your heart. He's calling you. He's drawing you. If you feel that tug, that's because God loves you. He's for you. He's not against you. He's not condemning you. But He's saying, come. Come follow me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Brother Jamie, show this cross. You can stay under the shelter. You can stay under it. Just shine it that way. This cross is still standing, Brother Michael. The rain's pouring down. You can see my breath out here. It's cold in Middle Georgia. Cold rain. But that doesn't stop the cross, does it? The cross is still there. And my friends, I'm going to tell you something today. You can kneel at the cross. And you can make things right with God. You may be saved and on your way to heaven, but still, you know that your walk with God is not where it should be. Today, let's, wherever we are, kneel at the cross. And let's pray. And let's do that right now. Pray with me. Say these words, Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
I come to you the best way I know how.
I come to you the best way I know how.
I give you my life.
I give you my life.
And I ask you, Lord.
And I ask you, Lord.
Forgive me.
Forgive me.
For all my sins.
For all my sins.
Strengthen me, Lord.
Strengthen me, Lord.
That I might be a shining light for you.
That I might be a shining light for you.
In these days of confusion.
In these days of confusion.
Panic. And fear.
And fear.
I thank you, Lord. That according to John 3:16.
According to John 3:16.
I am born again.
I am born again.
I receive you, Jesus.
I receive you, Jesus.
As my Savior and Lord.
As my Savior and Lord.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, if anyone on the front row, the first row, going that way, pray that prayer. I want you to honk your horn. Second row. Third row. Fourth row. Fifth row. Sixth row. Seventh row. Anyone else? That's about eight people out of this little crowd, folks. Eight cars. I don't know how many people. Say, preacher, you look foolish. Your hair's wet. You look a mess. I don't care. I don't care. I think I would walk through a pond of alligators if I knew somebody would turn their life over to the Lord. But listen, that's the greatest decision you ever made. If you prayed that online with us, I want you to just comment and say, I did it. I did it. I did it. I know we lost contact for a few minutes there. Hope you pick back up and reshare this, share the first part and this part. I tried to recap, but we couldn't help it. The weather's been bad. So glad you joined us. I want you to join us tonight at 6 o'clock. We're going to meet by way of Facebook at 6 o'clock. We're going to pray about these storms and this virus. I'm going to ask everyone to stay parked where you are. We're going to start with the first row. And Brother Harry is going to help us get folks backed out. And we're going to start backing you out. We'll go row by row. Won't take just a minute. But if you will, just stay where you are. Brother Harry's going to stand down there by the oak tree. I'm going to back you out. And if you want to give an offering this morning, right there at the umbrella, just pull up there and stick it in there. If you don't have anything or if you can't afford to, that's fine. I had somebody make the stupid accusation. They said the only reason he's wanting to have church is because of money. That's the most asinine, stupid thing I've ever heard. I've never been about that. But God does tell us, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. And if you want to give today, I hope you will. I put my tithe in. My wife hadn't gotten paid in 3 weeks. She ain't got paid in 3 weeks. But we still tithe. And if you give something, please do. God bless you. We're going to see the victory. Take us out on that song. Let the Facebook roll on.